Masechet Pesachim has been dedicated by Mr. Ike J. Shehebar in honor of his grandparents, Mr. Ike and Jeanette Beebe. We bless Mr. Ike Shehebar, who's been a sponsor of the Daf Yomi for many days. They should continue to enjoy success, health, and happiness. May his grandparents also enjoy much nachat from him as well as all their grandchildren, and may they only share in simachot for the entire family. Amen. Daf Samechei. This morning's daf has been dedicated anonymously in honor of Rav David Katz of Katz Judaica. Katz Judaica on 632 Kings Highway in Brooklyn, 718-375-7272. We want to acknowledge that Rav David Katz is the supplier of all our Gemariot art scroll for the Daf HaYomi in our Shi'ur. Teskele Mitzvot, Katz Judaica.
Today's daf is being studied, La'ilu Nishmat, Hacham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichem began Eden. Amen. We are starting today on Daf Samech Dalet Amud Bet, and we are going to begin 13 lines from the bottom. Shachat Yisrael Vekebel HaKohen. So the Mishnah continued to discuss the process or the procedure of how they brought Korban Pesach on Ede Pesach. So it says the Yisrael was able to make the shechita, the slaughtering of the animal, and the kohen would receive the blood. So the Gemara says, "Lo sagya delav Yisrael." Which means only Yisrael is able to make the shechita. Which means the Mishnah sounds like it's going out of its way to tell us that the shechita has to be by a Yisrael. What, the kohen can't make the shechita? It has to be done by a Yisrael. So the Gemara says, "He gufa kamash malan." No, that's exactly what it's coming to teach us. The shechita bezar keshera. That's coming to say that you don't need a kohen, that you can use a non-kohen for the shechita. The kibela kohen, but the kohen has to receive the blood. What does it teach us? Hakamash malan mekabala va'ilach mitzvat kehuna, which means from the receiving of the blood and on, all the rest of the services must be done with the kohen. Rashi says, "Dichtiv v'shachat et ben abakar v'kribo b'nei Aharon, v'kribo b'nei Aharon," which means after the shechita, v'kribo b'nei Aharon, which is everything after shechita is done by the children of Aharon, meaning the kohanim. Comes the Gemara and says, "Notno lahavero." Now the bazichim that were filled with blood, they would pass it over from one kohen to the other kohen until it got to the mizbeach. And as we said, the last kohen would throw it against the wall of the mizbeach. So the Gemara says, "Shmat mina." We could learn from here, "Holacha shelo beregel havya holacha." One of the services is holacha. You have to walk the blood to the mizbeach. So we learn a hadush from our Mishnah that it's not necessarily have to walk it, because here they weren't walking, they were just passing it. So they're teaching you that even passing it is considered holacha. Gemara says, "Dilma havan nayid purta." Who told you? Maybe the kohanim, as they were passing it, they moved their legs a little, so therefore maybe indeed it was holacha beregel, right? Maybe it just wasn't a transfer of the bazich. It was just maybe they transferred and they walked a little and they transferred to the next guy. So the Gemara says, "Ve'ela ma'ika mashma'alan." So what's the hadush? Ha'ika mashma'alan berovam hadrat melech, which teaches us that when you have more people involved in the service of the Bet HaMikdash in this case, so the more glorified it is to the king, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why it's telling you that one kohen gives it to another kohen, to another kohen. Not to teach you could pass it. Maybe you can't pass it. Maybe you actually have to walk a little. But the hadush is that they would have a lot of kohanim in the process, because the more people, the more praiseworthy would it be to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara continues. Kibbeh letamaleh, ومحزير اتاريقان. So now we said the Kohani would pass the bazichim of blood. The second Kohen would receive the filled blood, and he would give back the empty. So the Gemara says, but not the opposite, meaning he would not give the empty one and take the full one. The procedure was he takes the full and then gives the empty. Why? So we can bring a proof now to the Reish Lakish. The Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, in ma'avirin ala mitzvot, you can't pass over the mitzvot, which means when the Kohen has the bazichin, the bazich, and he's holding it, and he sticks his hand out to give it, so now you cannot do something else before you take it. If he's going to give him the empty one, so now he's passing over the mitzvah that's in front of him, the filled one. So therefore we learn that you have to take the full one and then give the empty, so you don't pass over the mitzvah that's in front of you. Comes again and continues. Kohen akarov etzel ha-mizbeach. So we said the Kohen that's closest to the Mizbeach, he takes the bazich of blood and he throws it keneged ha-yesod, against the base of the Mizbeach, and the water trickles down the wall of the Mizbeach into the base. Man tana Pesach bezrika. Where do we learn that Korban Pesach needs zrika? Zrika means they would take the blood and they would throw it. They wouldn't sprinkle it with their finger. That was only done by Korban Hatat, as we explained. But what they would do is they would take the bazich, and the Kohen would just throw it towards the wall of the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, where do you see that Korban Pesach needs zirika? That you need to do it at all? So the Gemara says, Dashi, man tana Pesach bezrika lemelachok velo b'shficha benachat. There's two ways to do the pouring of the blood. Either from far you could throw, that would be called zirika, or if you went up close, it would be called shefichah, where you just pour it into the yisod. So our Mishnah said, yuzorek. So how do you know yuzorek the dam? So the Gemara says, man tana pesach bezirika, amar Rav Chisda, Rabbi Yosei Galilihi, detanya Rabbi Yosei Galilihi omer, et damam תזרוק על המזבח ואת חלבם תכתיר. By the Bechor, that's an animal that's the firstborn, and the Torah also says you have to give it to the Kohen and they put it on the Mizbeach. So it says את דמם, plurally, their bloods you shall throw and their fats you shall burn. So it says דמו לא נאמר. It's talking about one Korban, the Bechor. And it doesn't say the word damo, which would be singular. Ela damam, their bloods. Halbo lo emar. It doesn't say their fat. Ela halbam. Limed al bechor umaser upesach she'en te'unin matan damim ve'emurim legabe mizbeach. Which is from here you see that obviously the Torah said it by bechor, but it's coming to include other cases as well. Which other cases? Pesach and Ma'asir. She's those items also you have to make Zirikat Adam. So the Gemara asks, well, let's look at the bottom of Rashi for a second. El Adamam Alma Aharini Nameh Mishtam'ay. It says Damam must be talking about more than one type of Korban. Limet ala Pesach Uma'asir Behema. Now, why do we include those two items? Shelo matzinu lahem matan damim b'Torah elakan, because it doesn't say anywhere in the Korban Pesach about what you have to do with the blood. So therefore, must be that word damam is coming to include two korbanot that the Torah did not discuss what to do with the blood. And what are those two extra korbanot? Maaser behemah, the gift to the Kohen, and Korban Pesach. So the limud is from Bechor. Gemara asks, three lines from the bottom. Minalan the te'unin yesod. How do you know that you have to sprinkle it on the side of the mizbeach where the yesod is? So the Gemara says, Amar Bil Azar, Atya Zirika Zirika Me'ola. We have a Gezira Shavan, the word Zirika. Ketivaka, it says by the Bechor, Et Damam Tizrok Ala Mizbeya. Uchtiva Ta'am, and it says by the Korban Ola, Vezareku. Bene Aaron HaKohanim Et Damo Ala Mizbeya Saviv. Ma Ola Te'una Yesod, Af Pesach Nameh, Ta'un Yesod. Which means, we know by Ola, that you throw the blood on the side of the Mizbeah that has the Yesod, that has the base. So it falls into that base. And it says the word, Vezareku. It says the word by the Bechor, Tizrok. And we just included by the Bechor, Damam, Korban Pesach. So therefore, just like Ola, it's on the side of the Mizbeah with the Yesod, so to by Korban Pesach, on the side of Mizbeah, with the Yesod. Comes the Gemara and continues. We go to the Amud Rishon. Ve'ona gufa minalan. Well, where do you know that by the Korban Ola, that the throwing has to be on the side of the Yesod? It just says, Vizareku b'nei Aaron ha-Kohanim et damo saviv. How do you know it has to be? Because the Mizbeah, on certain sides it had Yesod, and on other sides there was no Yesod. Which means this base did not go on the four corners of the Mizbeah. So the Gemara is asking, how do you know you have to throw the blood of the Korban Ola on the side of the Mizbeah that has the Yesod? So the Gemara says, Amar Kera. The Gemara says, you have a Pasuk by Korban Hattat. What does it say by Korban Hattat? It says, I'll read the whole Pasuk. Ve'lakach ha-kohen midam ha-chatat ve'natan al-kanot ha-mizbach ha-ola ve'damo yishwok el-yesod mizbach ha-ola. Which means, it says, not el-yesod ha-mizbach. It says, by Korban Chatat, where do you throw the blood? El-yesod mizbach ha-ola. In the yesod of the mizbach that the ola is brought on. Alma ola te'ona yesod. So the fact that it calls the Mizbeah, Mizbah Ha'ola, and we're telling you that you throw the blood of the Hatat and the Yesod of the Mizbah Ha'ola, that's teaching me that what? Hatat needs Yesod. Oh, Hatat needs Yesod, and we learn Ola needs Yesod. Ola needs Yesod, it says the word Tizrok, right? Vezareku, by the Bechor it says Tizrok, so we learn also Yesod. And we know by Bechor we learned to include Damam. Includes Maser and Pesach. So therefore all these halakhot are learned from each other. Incidentally, the top that she says, Ve'ula gufa minanan, Shematan dama, Bimkom shiyesh tahtav yesod, Lemi'ute mizrah vedarom. It's coming to exclude on the east side of the Mizbeah, and on the southern side of the Mizbeah, there was no yesod. So therefore you might have thought, maybe you do it on those sides. No, Kamash, we have to do it on the sides, right, that have the Yesod. Comes the Gemara and continues. Yatzta kat rishona. We said the first group would then leave the Azara, and the second group would enter. And we said, whatever the first group did, the second group has to follow the same procedure, then they would go out, and the third group would go in. So the Gemara says, Tana, he nikret kat aslanit. The third group is called the group of lazy people, because they're the third group. They should have been more diligent being the first. So therefore, the fact they were the last ones, so therefore called the lazy ones. So the Gemara says, Gemara says, Behalo sage delav hache. Which means, what do you mean? You need the third group. You can't do without them. Didn't we say in the Mishnah that the Pesach can only be slaughtered in three groups? So now you tell me, oh, the third group, kat aslanim. What do you mean? You can't do without them. Which means, what do you want them to do? Somebody's going to have to be in the third group. So the Gemara says, afilu hache. Even so, just because you need a third group doesn't mean that you should be part of the third group. And therefore they still should have been zadis, meaning zealous, and be from the first two. So the Gemara says, The Gemara gives a similar analogy. We have a braita. Rabbi Omer, Eifshar le'olam belo basam. The world cannot exist without somebody that sells besamim. Need a basam, a guy that's a perfumery. The ubelo bursi. And the world cannot exist without a tanner. You need a guy that tans leather. Ashrei mishi umanato basam, oilo mishi umanato bursi. Praiseworthy is the guy that runs a perfumery, and woe to the guy that runs a tannery. Why? The perfumery is a good smell. Where the bursi, it's a terrible smell. But you need a bursi, of course. But woe to the guy that chooses to become a bursi over a basam. Then the Gemara says, similarly, if the world cannot exist without males and females. Ashrei mi shebanav zecharim. Oy lo mi shebanav nekevot. Which means, you need both. You need boys and girls. But what? Fortunate is a person that his children are boys, and woe to a person that his children are females. You need both. But what? So the Mefarshim explain over here, what's the oy? Why is it so, the Gemara puts such a terminology on someone that has girls. So, some explain that the explanation is like this, that the girls are very hard to give chinuch to because you have to be careful that their tziniut is intact, that they have modesty, and it's very worrisome on the parent that the daughter will not lose her modesty, and she'll get married early at the right time, so she doesn't become tainted. So therefore it's a big pressure on the parents. But the Gemara is very careful when it says, "Oy lo mi shebanav nekevot," meaning that he has many nekevot. Of course you need a nekeva in order to fulfill the mitzvah of periyav rebiya. So therefore it's saying if he has excessive, so you need them. But of course, lucky is the guy that has zekarim. Comes the Gemara continues. Kema'aseu b'chol. We said that just like they would bring the Korban Pesach during the week, it was the same procedure on Shabbat, meaning Erev Pesach, shehaliyot b'Shabbat. However, we said that the Kohanim, they used to clean the Azara from the bloods that collected, and it was against the will of the Hachamim. So the Gemara says, Shelo birtzon man. Who was it not following the will of? Which rabbis were against cleaning the Azara? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chasda, Shelo birtzon Rabbi Eliezer. It was against Rabbi Eliezer who holds cleaning the floor of the Azara is Isu de Oraita. Because if it was only Yisud Rabbanan, so then we have a rule that says in Shvut b'Mikdash, that they waive rabbinical laws in the Beit HaMikdash. Here, the Hakamim were against it. Who is the Hakamim? Rabbi Eliezer. He must hold that cleaning the floor of the Azara is a deoraita. Why? So the Gemara says, the I Rabbanan ha'amre Shvutu. The rabbis all cleaning a floor on Shabbat would only be Rabbanan. V'in Shvut b'Mikdash. And the rabbinical laws are waived in the Mikdash. So the Gemara says, Mayi, where do you see this machlok between Rabbi Eliezer and Hachamim regarding cleaning the floors? The Tanya, we have a braita. Echad acholev, a person that milks an animal on Shabbat. So milking an animal, the Gemara is going to say, is Isur. Why is it Isur? What I was going to say, because it's considered like Dash. Dash is threshing. Just like dash, what are you doing? You have the kernel of wheat, and you bang it, and you're able to separate now the food from the chaff. So the same thing over here, when someone's milking an animal, it's like you're separating the milk from the udder of the animal. That's toldat de dash. So cholev on Shabbat is isur. The next item is ha-mehabetz. Mehabetz is one that makes cheese, and he causes the cheese to become hardened and congealed. So that's also asur on Shabbat. That could be like the isur of like boneh, That's what some of the Mefashim want to say. It's like creating, building. V'am megabin. Megabin also is taking the different parts of the cheese and putting them together. So anybody that does these things, the shi'ur is what? Kigrogedit. Even if you do the size of a fig, of the any of these items, meaning milk the size of a gerogeret, or making the cheese the size of a gerogeret, already going to be hayav. Furthermore, hamchabed v'hamrabetz. Hamchabed is something that sweeps the floors. Hamrabetz is something that pulls water, sprinkles water on the floor in order to keep the dust down. Any of these items, v'arodeh halot devash, or somebody that takes out the cakes of honey from the honeycomb, right? The honeycomb has like cakes filled with honey, so he's just removing them from the honeycomb. That's called rodeh halot devash b'shogeg b'shabbat hayav hatat. In all these cases, if you did it b'shogeg, hayav hatat. Hezid b'yom tov, if you did it, let's say on yom tov b'mezid, loke et arba'im, devrei Rabbi Eliezer. So you see clearly Rabbi Eliezer in all these cases, there's hayuv. Now, let's try to explain the different yisurim over here. Rodeh halot devash. What's the yisur in that? So Rashi brings a pasuk, and he says, there's a pasuk in Shemuel that says, Vayitbol ota biya'arot ha-devash. It calls the honeycomb a ya'ar. Ya'ar is like a forest. So if somebody takes something from a honeycomb, he would be over the yisur of tolesh. It's like you're uprooting a tree or uprooting a plant. So that's the Isur Deoraita in Rodeh Halot Devash, because it's called a Ya'ar. It's like a forest and you're uprooting something. Now what would be the Isur in Mechabed? So some Mefarshim explain. Sweeping, what would the Isur be? The Isur be is you're fixing the floor, which means just the fact that you're making the floor nice and smooth and clean, that would be an isud already, either of boneh or makeh bepatish. But either way, it's going to be considered an isud deoraita. So now, you see the Bili Eizer holds that by kibud. Now, the Beit HaMikdash, they didn't do kibud. They didn't sweep. What they did was, they actually filled the Beit HaMikdash's azara with water. Mm-hmm. Right, they plugged the Beit HaMikdash Amma, the stream there, so the water would fill up in the Azara. Then after it would fill up, they would unplug it and the water would go down and would drain out all the blood. So either you have to say that that's also part of the Isur of Kibud, because you're also fixing the floor of the Azara. You're making the floor usable again. Can't use it with the blood. And therefore it would be like Isur either of Mekeb Patish, or if you want to say some sort of Boneh. That's one derech to learn Rabbi Eliezer. Hakamim omrim ehadze vehadze eno ena mishum shevut. The rabbis come along and say, mechabed, that's sweeping, mechabetz, that's putting the water on the floor, or rodeh, or taking out the honeycombs. These are only isur derabanan. So you see clearly it's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that says in these cases it would be isur deoraita. Now, oh, so they do say the Mefarshim here that according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Isur of Mechabed and Merbetz would be Boneh. Why? Because when you sweep, according to some opinions, you're filling the holes up in the ground, right? You're filling it up with earth, and therefore you're leveling it. It's hard to understand if you learn like that. Yeah. Only because why then the Hachamim would say it's only Isur Derabanan. So maybe you'll tell that the rabbis hold it's not a psik reshe. It's not inevitable. And therefore it's not going to be Isur Doraita. So what? Then Rabbi Eliezer is saying it is a psik reshe? Yeah. So it's difficult to say have a mahloket, is it a psik reshe or not? Is it inevitable that you're gonna fill holes or not? So that's one of the Tosfot's questions on that opinion to say. So look at the Tosafot for a second. I'm chabed v'am rabetz. Al korhach la psik reshehu. You can't say that it's a psik reshe, you're going to fill up the holes. The bepsik reshe lo aveshari lebi shemon the rabbetz lechatayda. Nobody would be matir you to be mirabetz. Beshili amatzliya, and we know in Gemara Shabbat he's matir. Vetema leri dimken amay mahayev rabbi liyazer kevan diyachol liyot belo gumot. Furthermore, can be without gumot, and the floor of the Beit HaMikdash was not even earth. The floor of the Beit HaMikdash was solid. So therefore, what's the gumot over there? Vedohak lomad the pelig iyavi psik reshe or lo. The dohak to say that's the machloket. Is it a psik reshe or not? Which means, really, it's a psik reshe, the hole's going to get filled. The question is, when a guy sweeps, is his intention to fill up those holes? Which means, is it, does he want those holes to be filled up? So therefore, if you say it's mitkaven, so then already it would be a regular isur deoraita. Or if you hold that it's really considered davar, she'en mitkaven, when you're doing something heter, and then something that you're not mitkaven comes out, so could be that according to the opinion it says davashem mitkaven mutar even in a case over here. So not, it's really you can't say it's a psik neshe because that would be asur, but you have to say that there's a chance that the holes are going to get filled up, and the chance that the holes are going to get filled up, so it be as well, you want it to get filled up and it's mitkaven to get filled up, and if when it gets filled up you're going to, according to Hakam, he's like, no, yeah, you know what I mean? If it gets filled up, you know, that wasn't your intent. You just wanted to sweep. So you have to say the machloket is of that nature. Then Tosfot continues. Temaleri, Hecha metuk lemanitik rabbi Eliezer, ve'aba azara sheyala ritzpat abanim. Tosfot asks, what do you mean? There's no dirt over here.
Marble.
There was marble, there was stone. Lo sheyak bashvu yegumot, ve'afilu chetayla shari. Right? So he quotes the Gemara Shabbat. So then he comes along and says, the Ba'azara ben roved le roved hayu gumot. You have to say that in between the stones there was like dirt. So there, right, it was exactly. In between, you have to say there wasn't stones. So we're talking about that little in-between areas that had dirt. Inameh, or in the cracks, exactly. Inameh. The Rabbi Eliezer, the Ika Surah, the Oraita Bechibud de Alma, Gazlinan Azara Atu Kibud de Alma. Which is, could be really Kibud by dirt is the Oraita. But what? He's going to go there by a stone floor Atu Kibud. Aye, but it's only Sudra Banan. So Tosfot then says that what? De Kama Shvut Ashkehan be Mikdash. That even though it's Isud Rabbanan, we do find sometimes that even Shvut Rabbanan was Asur in the Beit HaMikdash. So therefore, could be this was one of the exceptions that they still did in the Beit HaMikdash. We have different ways to play over here, this Kibud business. In any event, it was against the will of Rabbi Eliezer. Comes the Gemara, gives another answer. Rav Asher Amar, Afilu Tema, Shelo Bertzon Hachamim. You can even say that the rabbis that said that sweeping and all these things were only Sudra Banan, you could say that they were also upset of them cleaning the floors of the Hazara. Why? So Gemara says, like Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natani. The Tanya Rabbi Natan Omer, Shvut Siricha Etiru. Shvut Sheena Siricha Lo Etiru. When did the rabbis waive rabbinical law in the Beit HaMikdash? When it was necessary for the Avodah. To clean the floor of the Beit HaMikdash, that's not integral for the Avodah. So such a shvut, that we're not matir. So you can even say with Shelo Bertzon HaKamim that say it's Yisud Rabbanan. This Yisud Rabbanan was not waived because it's shvut Shelo Tzericha. Comes the Gemara and continues. So basically that's the answer to the Gemara. Shelo Bertzon can either mean Shelo Bertzon HaBili HaEzer, it's Yisud HaOraita, or according to Tosfot learned, that is, it's in Yisud Rabbanan that even Rabbi Eliezer would say it was still in the Beit HaMikdash. Or you can say it's called to everybody that what? That this type of shvut was considered not Tzorech Avodah. Therefore, everybody would hold it is indeed Asur. Comes the Gemara and continues. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Kosayam Emaleh. Now we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said that the custom of the Kohanim was, after the Azara was filled with blood, they would take an empty kos, they would fill it from the bloods that collected on the floor, that mixed on the floor, and they would go to the Beit Mizbeach and throw it against the Yesod. He didn't tell us why, but we said that the Hachamim were against it. So now the Gemara explains. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Amir kos yamimaleh middama ta'arovet. They call that blood the dama ta'arovet, right? The mixture. שאם ישפך דמו של אחד מהם נמצא זה מכשירו, which means this is an insurance, because they were concerned maybe the Kohanim, as they were passing over these bazichim to spill the blood on the mizbeach, maybe one of the bazichim fell and that blood fell on the floor. Now if that blood fell on the floor, what's going to happen? That guy did not get a proper korban. His korban wasn't sprinkled on the mizbeach. It's not valid. So what do? To make sure everybody's blood gets on the mizbeach, at the end, they would take from all the blood that's mixed together, all the bloods all together, they would fill a keli of it. So now there's got to be some blood of the korban in there, and they would throw it against the mizbeach. So at least the guy now gets his kapara, so the mizbeach is legitimate. So it comes again, what on says, Amr lo Rabbi Yehuda, V'halo lo nitkabel b'chli. So the rabbi's contention was, what are you talking about? This blood's on the floor. The assumption was, it was talking about that when they slaughtered the animal, the blood of the animal just fell on the floor. The blood that's in the keli, they caught. That blood you're not worried about. They put on the mizbeach. Now, if you didn't receive this blood in the keli, because on the floor, it's not valid to pour it on the mizbeach. The only blood that was in a bazach, that you can go now and pour it on the mizbeach. So the rabbi's contention was, what are you helping over here? So you took the blood that's on the floor? It never went into a keli. So the Gemara says, hold it. How do you know? Which means, how do you know it wasn't in the keli? When the rabbis are so certain this wasn't in the keli, maybe it was in the keli, and it fell. So the Gemara says, which means, how do you know? You don't know for sure. You don't know if it fell. It was in a can. Then it fell on the floor. Went straight on the floor. So what are you alleviating? You still have a sefik. So the Gemara says, "Amar lahen af ani lo amarti ela benitkabel bekeli." So the Rebbe comes back. You're right. I was only talking about blood that you know that was in a keli and then fell on the floor. So the Gemara says, "Minayada." How did the Kohanim know that this blood over here that's on the floor now all mixed was once in a keli? So the Gemara says, Kohanim zirizin hen. So Kohanim we know as zariz, that for sure they made Kabbalat Adam. That every animal that was slaughtered, the Kohanim were right there on site collecting the blood. So therefore, if you see the blood on the floor, they knew that that blood was good already. So the Gemara says, zirizin, amay mishtapich. If they're so zariz, so then why did the blood fall on the floor then? Right, they should have been careful. Kevras agav zirizutayu de'avde mishtapech, which is because they were so zealous, it fell. Which is they're passing the bazichim from one to another quickly to get it to the mizbeach. So in their haste, what happens? Mistakes happen. So the bazich falls on the floor. Now you have the blood that's on the floor. So comes the Kevras and says, v'halo dama tamsit me'urav bo. Now let's discuss what dama tamsit is. There's two types of blood. There's even in the Gemara says five types of blood. But there's blood that's called damat nefesh, and there's blood that's called damat tamsit. Which blood gets thrown on the mizbeach? Damat nefesh, which means the second the Israel makes shechita, at that moment there's a gush of blood right away. That's called damat nefesh. That's the blood that the Kohen catches. That's the blood that has to go on the mizbeach. After that initial gush of blood, the blood that comes out now subsequently is called damat tamsit. That's the blood that's that is removed, let's say, right? That comes from the animal. That blood, damat tamsit, is not kasher for the mizbeach. It's not kasher for the zirika. So the Gemara is asking the question: what are you talking? You have on the floor over here now blood that fell from the bazichim, but it's also mixed with damat tamsit, and therefore you have a mixture of it. And damat tamsit is not kasher for the mizbeach. So what are you helping over here? You take this bazich, you're filling it up with blood. In there you probably have majority even of damat tamsit, because all the blood of the animal is just being drained on the floor. So the Gemara says, well, what are you helping Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara says, so it's batel barov. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, le ta'amed amar, damat tamsit, dam me'al yahu. He holds no. Damat Tamshit is good blood. Meaning, he holds its legitimate blood, and at this point we're assuming that what? It's blood enough to pour it on the Mizbeach even. De Tanya, because we have a Braita, Damat Tamshit be Azhara. Which means, we know there's a law that says you're not allowed to eat blood. Mm-hmm. Now, Rabbi Yehuda holds that if one eats dam had tamsit, this blood, the second gush we'll call it, so one is going to get a isud, which is when the Torah says it's restriction against eating dam, it includes also what? Dam had tamsit. Okay, but it's azara, you don't get karet. Normally when you eat blood, there's karet, but he says what? You get an isud. So, I'm sorry, that's tanakama, right? Rabbi Yehuda omer be karet. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Damat tamsit is real blood, and you get even karet when you eat it. Which means he doesn't make a haluk between dam and nefesh and dam tamsit. So therefore, the Gemara at this point wants to say, just like the Gabe eating, he considers it full-fledged blood, that it's karet. So therefore, it's blood the Gabe to Mizbayah. So the Gemara says, V'amar Rabbi Elazar, Moder Rabbi Yehuda le'anyan kapara she'eno mechaper. Which means, Rabbi Yehuda agrees. It might be considered full-fledged blood legabe eating, but legabe kapara, it's not. Shine emar ki adam hu benefesh yichaper. The only blood that's mechaper is dam and nefesh. That's the blood that comes out originally. Dam shan nefesh yotzabo mechaper. Dam she'enu nefesh yotzabo enu mechaper. The blood that the soul of the animal goes out with is mechaper, and not. So we're back to the question. Rabbi Yehuda's dam et tamsit is not mechaper. Oh, now you have on the floor dam et tamsit. You have all this blood, so you have a little dam and nefesh mixed up in there. What do you help? He's batel. Right, the dam et tamsit overpowers, overrides the other blood that's there. So the Gemara says, Ela. Really, I'll tell you that what dam et tamsit is not kasher for the zirika. Oh, so what are you doing by taking from the mixture? Says the Biyuda l'tameh. That's following his reasoning. The Amar en dam mevatel dam. When you have what's called min bimino, when you have same species mixed together, he holds min bimino eno batel. Meaning, you have blood and blood. We don't say if you have rov dam tamsit, it's batel, the dam nefesh is batel in it. No, he holds two like items, each one stands alone. And therefore you have your dam and nefesh. I got a majority of dam and nefesh, so what? The majority rule does not apply by min bimino. That's the Biyuda's opinion in the Gemara and other places. So the Gemara is just saying, we're going to have to apply it over here. Now, let's read Rashi. Very important Rashi on the second line. Rabbi Yehuda l'tameh damar en dam mevatel dam. Hilkach, lo batil, ha'ud ishtapich. The stuff that fell on the floor is not batil. Ubchol purta demateh mineh lemizbeyah. Right, every drop that you'll pour on the mizbeyah, zirikai, it'll be considered a valid zirikah, umitkashir. And it'll be kasher. Which is, even if you have 99 parts of dam tamsit, and one little part of dam nefesh, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that one part of dam nefesh is mechaper. Umiltad Rabbi Yehuda bezvachim, beperikol hazvachim, shilit arbu, diktani. Here's where the source is, Rashi. Gabe dam zvachim, dam shinit arev bemayim. You have dam of a korban that got mixed up in water. So the deen is like this. Im yesh bo mar'it dam kasher. So the deen is, if it still looks red like blood, so then already it is kasher. Nit'arev bedam behemat cholin o bedam haya. Oh, but let's say it gets mixed up with non-sacred blood. So then you have a mixture with blood and blood. So the Gemara says, Rashi, ro'in etapsul ki'ilu haya mayim. You imagine that the blood of cholin, imagine it's water. And v'im yesh bekasher kedil yod b'mar'id dam kasher v'im lav pasul. And therefore, imagine the dam cholin is water. And therefore, if in a water mixture it would still look red like blood, so hachamim say that it would be kasher. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, En dam mevatel dam. Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, doesn't matter how much you have. Which is, even if it would be, if it was water, it would be diluted so much, it doesn't matter. En dam mevatel dam, therefore there's no proportion. And therefore, mim mimino, eno batel. So that's the explanation over here. Comes again and says, Tanya, Amar lehem Rabbi Yehuda, lachachamim. That Rabbi Yehuda comes along to the Hakamim, the other way now. Rabbi Yehuda is defending his position now. He says like this, لَدِفْرِخِمْ لَمَّا پُقِقِينَ اتَحَزَرَى. He says, listen, according to me, it makes sense why the Kohanim would plug the Azara in order to let the bloods collect. And then, after they would take from the tar of it, in order to ensure that all the bloods were poured on the Mizbeah, then they would unplug the azara, and they would let the blood flow out. But according to you, Hakamim, why did they even let the blood collect in the first place? You hold it, the blood on the floor has no use. So they should have unplugged the azara to let it flow out immediately. So the Gemara says, Lama pukkim et azara? Amru lo, sheva hu levne aharon, שילכו עד ארכובותיהם בדם. It's a shevach. It's a praise for the children of Aaron to walk up to their knees in blood. They're serving Borei Olam, showing the avodah, that you know they're not despised by the avodah. So if, on the contrary, they didn't do it for halachic reasons. They did it for, you know, shevach. Of course, it's it shows the haibub, exactly, the love that they have for the mitzvah, the endearment that they have for the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, hold it. What are you talking about? It's a chatzitza. Hadaka says the Kohanim's bare feet must be touching the ground in order for the avodah to be kishera. Now you have blood all over the place. So now the blood is chotzitz between the feet of the Kohanim and the wow. and the ground. So comes the Gemara and says, what? That she just learns the, let's read this too, that she's here. Look at Vakav Yahatzitza. בין רגליהם לרצפת דתם בזבחים עומד על הכלי או על גבי רגל חברו פסול. If the Kohen is standing on a vessel or is standing on somebody else's feet, it's פסול. דבעינן לעמוד לשרת. It's got to stand. ואין זו עמידה. עמידה means he's on the ground itself. So the Gemara answers, כדתניא, הדם ודיו והחלב והדבש יבשים חוצצין לחין אין חוצצין. Which means the Gemara says by mikveh, when a person goes to the mikveh, if he has dam, blood, or dio's ink, halab would be milk, devash would be honey, if they're on the person's flesh and they're dry, yavesh, then they serve as a interference for the mikveh. However, lachin, moist, and I'm chotzitzim. And therefore the blood over here on the floor is still moist. Therefore, lach is not considered a chatzitza. Just like by mikveh, so to buy in the bet on the floor. So the Gemara says, Veha kametavze manayu. Another question. They're getting their clothes dirty with blood. Now what's the problem if they get their clothes dirty with blood? So the Gemara says, Vetanya, we learned in the Braita, Hayu begadav metushtashim. Ve'avad avodato pesula. If a Kohen worked with clothes that were dirty, the avodah is pesula. So, how do you tell the Kohen over here, he's going to get his begadim dirty, that was up to his knees in blood. V'chitem adem madlu lehu lemanayu. So maybe you'll tell me they lifted their bottom of their garments up. They raised them a little up so they wouldn't get soiled with blood. Kemash can't do that. V'at tanya, we have a bright that says, ולבש הכהן מידו בד. That the Kohen has to wear מידו בד. מידו is a measure of bad, a measure of garment. So the Gemara says, מידו כמידתו. Meaning the garments have to fit him. שלא יחסר ולא יותיר. Meaning the garment has to reach exactly the ground. Not too short, not too long that it drapes. So if the Kohen is not allowed to lift up his garment in order that it doesn't get dirty. So the Gemara says, "Beholachat evarim lakevesh delav avodahi," which means, okay, we're talking about that When did the Kohanim walk through the blood? By transporting the bones of the Mizbeach and the limbs of the Mizbeach, of the Korban, to the Mizbeach. The Gemara at this point is saying that's not considered a service, meaning transporting of the bones to the Mizbeach. So at that point, since it's not an Avodah, so the Kohanim don't have to have their Begadim to the floor, because not one of the services. So at that point, they would lift their Begad up, and they would walk through the areas of blood to get to the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, Vela, so it's not considered Avodah, it's not a Melacha. What do you mean? From the fact that the Kohanim have to do that service, that shows you it is indeed Avodah. Like it says, Netanya, V'kriv HaKohen et HaKol HaMizbeach. It says the Kohen will bring everything towards the, or close to the Mizbeach. And what do we learn from there? Zu holachat evarim lakevish. Talking about taking the bones to the kevish. So the Gemara says, Ela beholachat etzim lema'arachat elav avodai. It's talking about when the Kohen will bring the wood to the Mizbeach in order to fuel the Mizbeach. So at that point, since it's not an avodah, he'll be able to lift up his garment, and the blood would not get on his garment. It's no problem, because it's not an avodah. So the Gemara says, Beholachat evarim lakevesh ubeholachat dam miha hechi azle, which is okay. But they're still walking in the blood during the other parts. Which when they're bringing the blood to the Mizbeach, when they're bringing the evarim to the Mizbeach, how do they circumvent the blood that's on the floor? So the Gemara says, the mazgea itztabe, which means there were certain stone benches, let's say, that were in the Azara. So when they would walk to the Mizbeach, they would have to walk on these benches, raised, elevated areas, and you have to say that what? That these itztaba'ot had a din of the Azara. Otherwise you tell me it's a Hatzitza again. If you have to say that, no, they were stone, and therefore that's the way he got to the Mizbeach. So therefore the only time the Kohen would walk through the blood according to this, where he wouldn't have a problem, was when he would go put the wood on the Mizbeach. For the other Avodot, he walked on the itztaba'ot, those platforms that were not considered a Hatzitza. Comes again and says, Ketzad Tolin Umafshitin. The Gemara says, how was the procedure of making hafshata? Meaning, they had to skin the animal in order to take out the insides to put it on the Mizbeach. So it says, Kar'u ve'otzi et emurav. So they would rip the animal apart, meaning skin it. And they would take out the insides, untanam b'megis laktiram. They would put it in a keli, megis is a vessel, in order to burn it on the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, Atu gufe ava mechtar lehu, which means it's mashma from the Mishnah that the Israel is doing everything over here.
Yes.
Which means the Israel skins the animal and puts it in the Megis to put it on the Mizbeach. What do you mean? Atu, the Gemara says, Hu gufe ava mechtelu? That only can be done by the Kohanim. So the Gemara says, Ema lehaktiran al gabe mizbeach, which means instead of reading it that they're going to do it, it wasn't that they're going to do it. Correct. Right, the difference was what? Lehaktiram.
Meaning that they're preparing it.
Right, they're preparing it. That it should. Not vehektiram. Vehektiram is mashma. They did it. No. Lehaktiram. That it should be done. Comes Gemara and continues. Yatzta katishona. Okay, now we're discussing Erev Pesach Shehaliyot b'Shabbat. Now we know the law is what? They were not allowed to roast it on Shabbat. Now, when after that, they wait till Motzei Shabbat. Now they can't carry the Korban Pesach home. So everybody had to stay in place. So the Mishnah told us exactly where each group would camp out until Motzei Shabbat. So it says, Yatzta katishona. Right, so the first group came out, and the second and third. Once Hashecha came, once Motzei Shabbat came, they all went home to roast the Korban Pesach. Tana, kol echad ve'echad noten pescho be'oro u'mafshil la'achorav. How did they carry the Korban Pesach home? So it says they would wrap the Korban Pesach in its or, in its skin, and, you know, hold it and swing it behind their back. Why? Amar of Yehilish, Tayaut, which means the way that the Yishmaelim would carry their, the Arabs carry. Now what's the logic over here? Halakha says like this, the Korban Pesach is Kodesh. It's a Korban. By swinging it over their shoulder, if it's not going to be covered, so now already it's called Hiseh Hadat, which means you're leaving it uncovered and exposed and vulnerable. Such exposure would make the Korban Pasul. So therefore you have to cover it. So how do you cover it? With the skins that they had of the Hafshata on Shabbat that they made, they would take that skin and they would subsequently wrap it up. So therefore the animal is covered, so that you have no problem of Hiseyach Hadat. That she says, Kol Echad Ve'Echad, כשהיו הוליכים לבתיהן, היה נותן פסחו בעורו ומפשילו לאחוריו. אמר רב אילש, רב אילש זה שם חכם, תייעות, דרך סוחרים ישמעאלים, הוא זה, that would be the way of the Arabs to do such a thing. Now, it should be understood before we finish this perek, we should give a little clarification of this procedure of putting the skins on the animal and keeping it on his back. So if you remember, we learned in Masechet Shabbat. It says, Tanu Rabbanan, I'm quoting from Shabbat. Arba asar shechaliot b'Shabbat. The 14th fell on a Shabbat. Mavshitin et ha-Pesach ad ha-Hazeh. So there was a whole machloket how to make the hafshata, the skinning of the animal. Correct. Rabbi Ishmael held, you skin it up until the chest of the animal. Hakamim said, no, you skin the entire animal like you do it normally during the week. So the Gemara said, Rabbi Ishmael, Rabbi Ishmael, Ben Hashem Lachamim Beroka, Da'it Avid Le Tzorek Gavoa. Which means, according to the Shita of Rabbi Ishmael, the whole purpose is you need to what? Is to get out the emurim. Okay, so skin it up until that point. And now once you get that emurim, don't skin it anymore. El Rabbanan my ta'ama, Amar Rabba Bar Barhanah, Amar Rabbi Yohanan, Amar Kira, Kol Pa'al Hashem Nemin Nemahaneu. The Akhari said, no, the whole thing is considered sort of gavawa. Meaning to skin it the right way, even kula. That was mahlokin, how much you skin. Now, the Gemara concludes, Shemuridin b'Shabbat et'aor b'barzeh. Which means they would skin it not in the normal way. It says hatichot hatichot. They would take off, you know, strips of pieces of pieces. She ended the chafshata bekach, because really skinning an animal is yisudo raita. So they didn't want to do it in yisudo raita way in the Bet HaMikdash. So they did it in a shinui. Therefore, it's only yisur drabanan. Now, Tosfot obviously based on that Gemara asked the obvious question: how you wrapping it in its skins, if the skins, according to all opinions, were stripped off? There's no oil over here to wrap it. So Tosfot answers three different interpretations. Number one, he says, Sugiyatenu medubar bechol, aval b'Shabbat sarich b'barzeh. Which means, you have to say, could be that this Gemara over here was referring to not on Shabbat. You have to say this is what I was referring to when it happened on the weekday. So they would stop to carry the Korban Pesach home during the week to roast it. So that's when they would keep it in Or. Another explanation, you have to say that it was Or of the Hazeh, which means the Or of the Hazeh could be that still on the animals, a big piece that they pulled off from the chest of the animal. So you skinned it that part you skinned normally, then the rest you would strip off. So with that big piece by the hazeh, they would cover the animal. Or the third answer, he says, Shirabbanan amru din ze the feet of Bishmael shlefachot yodelem shebeshabbat mutal lavshid bebarzeh val rabbanan beemet mutal lavshid kiragil. Which means, according to this, the Gemara that said over there that you would strip it, the rabbis were saying that not according to their opinion. The rabbis were saying, according to us, pull it off normally. They were trying to say, according to you, Rabbi Ishmael, that you're mahmir, that you can't strip the whole animal. At least for you, it should be permissible to strip it in pieces. Which means we really hold, pull it down the normal way. You, that's mahmir, that you can't strip only till the hazeh. Why not? Bibarzeh should be permissible. So therefore, according to Hakamim, you wouldn't strip it on Shabbat either. You would actually pull it off the normal way. So therefore, you would be able to cover the animal with the normally stripped way according to Hakamim. So those are basic three answers how Tosfot wants to say what they did. So either this came out on Chol, or you could say Shabbat, Afidu l'shitat, Hakamim would say, Mutat to do it in the normal way. Hadran alach, tamid l'shab.